To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I always say to my students, like, when we talk about psychology, that I'm going to teach them not concepts, because they already know the concepts. I'm just going to teach them the vocabulary to attach to the concepts. And that's
a terrible college class.
Thanks, bud. Hey, Mark. Oh, how do we start?
Hi, I'm Nicole. We're very serious. I am Mark.
What are we talking about today, Mark?
And this is...
Oh, never mind the music.
Should we try that again or should we leave it in?
I think we should just leave it.
Okay, folks.
We
haven't recorded in a little while. This is a bonus episode. This is not even a sidetrack. This is a bonus episode. And people, don't listen to this episode. Don't listen. You know why? Because it's not a normal episode. This is teachy-teachy.
Yuck.
It's not even irreverently teachy. I am going to talk through some music terminology. We are doing a few really short episodes in a series. One of our listeners wrote in with feedback that you can hear on our mailbag episode that we just released, and she requested some freaking explanation for all these terms that I'm dropping all the time. And I know I try to explain stuff, but I'm also aware that sometimes I just use a term without defining it. Are the people right? Do I do that sometimes, Nicole?
I think so. I think we need to, like, take this information from, like, a 400 level class. We're going to take it down to a 100 level, or even like an 095 remedial class. Like, that's back to the basics.
This is kind of just going to be a walkthrough on some of the terminology, so you know what the words mean. I'm not getting into music theory or anything, but just kind of, here's what these things are called. Here's the overview. It's almost like the table of contents of the textbook for a music 101 class.
Cool.
It's sort of what I'm reading through.
And it's great because if you already know this stuff, you can listen to this and, like, feel really smart.
Or you cannot listen to it. This is not going to have any psych content. It's not going to be super funny, though I've tried to use technology to make it funny. We'll see how that works.
Okay.
Basically, if you already know this stuff, listen if you're interested. But really, this is for you folks that like our vibe, but don't know what the hell we're talking about. So should we get started?
Let's
more specific?
Go. Yeah, let's
All right,
do it.
So what we're doing here, again, sort of like overview, reading through the syllabus of a music appreciation or a music fundamentals class. In these little bonus episodes, we're going to talk about the basic elements of music, right? The components, not of sound per se, but the sort of variable elements that make a piece of music, or a recorded piece of music, or a performed piece of music, or whatever. And I'm going to list them out, and we've got them in a few categories, but we're going to just take certain few ones that are related per episode. Sound good?
Sounds great.
So I'm going to just read out what I would consider the basic elements. You tell me what you think it means.
Okay.
And I'll tell you how we're going to group them in our little mini bonus episodes.
Cool.
Rhythm.
You want me to tell you what rhythm means?
Yes.
Like the meter and beat of music, like how a song sounds?
How a song sounds. That's interesting. Be specific, though. The meter and the beat. Ugh. That's all correct. But you need to know what rhythm is to know what those things mean. So what's rhythm?
It's so hard because it seems like such a simple thing, but it's really hard to explain in words.
But that's
like,
why I've got to do this episode, right? Because we keep saying it. Rhythm is how the music unfolds in time, right? When you play a note.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah,
it's
that makes
sense. It's the timing of music. It's yes, we say beat and groove, but it's the when. Okay, cool. What's melody? How about melody? That's another basic element of music.
All my answers are going to be how the song sounds, but melody is like the rise and fall of the notes throughout the music.
So it's the notes,
the
how
notes.
The notes, the specific pitches unfold in time, right?
Cool.
I can be more specific about that later. How about harmony? What is harmony?
Harmony is how notes sound together.
Yeah, when you play them all together, mm-hmm. chords, right? Harmony.
And they can either be dissonant or consonant.
Oh, you know what? I've got my notes here and I forgot to put those words
Oof.
In. Will you put a pin in those words and bring them back when we talk about
okay,
harmony?
Okay, put a pin in it.
How about timbre? Timbre, what's timbre?
I learned this in recording these podcasts with you, but I can't remember now. Timbre is like not the raspiness of, but it's someone's like,
sure.
Yeah. It's someone's like flavor that they put on the notes.
Timbre is how the note sounds.
Yeah, that's right.
The sound of the music itself. Okay. A few more mm-hmm. dynamics. What are dynamics?
How loud or soft a song is or
awesome.
The notes are.
Perfect. Articulation.
Like how short or long the notes are.
So that's not rhythm though?
No. Because rhythm is like where it falls like in the measure and the
yeah.
on the music.
But also how long or short it is.
Yeah, but articulation is like how much you hit the note.
How you play
How you play it.
Right?
If it's like staccato or something.
Yeah. And I'll explain more what that means. But yeah, it's how the note is played, which is different from how long it's played, right?
Sure.
Two more. Texture.
It's like the difference between like Nora Jones and Christina Aguilera.
One of them is Ravi Shankar's daughter. The other isn't. What do you mean the difference
Ravi
between
Ravi Shankar?
The sitar player? That's Nora Jones's dad.
What?
Yeah. She has an American mom. I'm sorry. I don't remember who it is. But yeah, the guy who taught George Harrison how to play the sitar is
Shut
Nora Jones's
mouth.
Dad.
There's nepotism yeah. all over the place.
Nepotism,
I'm learning
I don't
it
know.
All. Like but Gracie Abrams. Do you know
whose kid is she?
J.J. Abrams from Lost.
Oh, the Jage. That's right. I think I knew that because we talked about Gracie Abrams on our last mailbag
episode.
What
the heck? Okay, let's stay focused, Mark.
Yeah.
I blame you.
Texture is not the difference between...
But it's just like, you know, someone's raspiness.
That's
like
timbre.
Fuck.
You just said that one.
Why don't you just
okay.
tell me what
texture
means.
Is how the different layers interact
okay.
in the music.
That's
and
cool.
I'll say more later in this podcast.
I can't wait.
Last but not least, form.
Form?
Form.
You hear that word a lot in music, form. It's not about like time signature, is it?
No. That's rhythm.
Form. I don't know. In my head, it's like the instruments that are playing, like, are different formations, but that's wrong.
That's texture.
Oh, okay. What's
what if
form?
I said like it's a verse and then a chorus?
Okay, like a pre-chorus, chorus, bridge
that's right.
vibe.
Or here's the solo. Or here's the exposition and then the development of a sonata.
Oh, so like the form is like the outline of a song.
The structure of the song.
Yeah,
yeah.
Cool.
When things happen with different sections of the song. So, okay, how many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Mark Papany today says there are 8 characteristics, main essential musical elements in a piece of music. Other people might combine them. Other people might separate more. We've got rhythm, melody, harmony, timbre, dynamics, articulation, texture, and form. We're going to do 3 little mini episodes breaking these down. And I'm just simply going to talk through some of the terms, explain what these things mean. Here's how we're going to group them. Today, this episode, how a sound is played. How a sound is played. So we're going to talk about the timbre, what the sound sounds like, the dynamics, how loud it is, the articulation, like the way you make the sound, and the texture, how the sounds are layered. Cool?
That sounds super cool.
Super cool. Next bonus episode, when the sound is played.
Oh.
So we're going to talk about form, the structure of the music, and also rhythm, like exactly the timing of the music. And then our last episode, the one that people are clamoring for because of all the sharps and flats stuff.
Ugh, love it.
What is played, right?
What?
The melody and the harmony. Which notes are played? Cool. Sounds good?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Anything you want to say hilariously about psychology just to get it out of your system, or are we going right on?
I think, you know, I don't know. It'll come to me. Let's just keep pressing forward.
Fair enough. Okay, so with that in mind, let's start with timbre. So we already said timbre is how a sound sounds, and that is probably the stupidest sentence I could construct.
It sounds stupid when you say it.
Right.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, this one also has the least amount of specific kind of music theory terms. When we talk about timbre, we tend to say things like, oh, that sound is dark, that is bright, that is warm, that is abiding timbre. And none of those things have real definitions. They're just sort of vibes, right?
Yeah.
But when we talk about timbre, what we're talking about actually is the combination of frequencies. So like you could play the same tune with a tuba and with a violin, and they would sound different, not just because one is sort of higher than the other, but because the frequencies combine in a way that creates a different wave, a different everything,
right? A different vibe. I'm talking about
the
vibes.
The different vibe is specifically the combination of frequencies that we're hearing, right?
Yeah, I noticed that like on our episodes when you'll play like a Kylie Minogue song, but you play it like on a piano and it just sounds like meh.
And it sounds better than the original?
Of course, yeah. Of course.
So just as an example, some digital piano action here. Here's the same little tune played first in a piano sound and then in an organ sound. The music is identical. The timbre is different. Cool?
Cool.
There's not much more to say than that. That's not that bad, right?
No, that makes sense. Like, of course.
You have a professional musician's understanding of timbre now.
That's great. Cool. I always say to my students, like, when we talk about psychology, that I'm going to teach them not concepts, because they already know the concepts. I'm just going to teach them the vocabulary to attach to the concepts. And that's
a terrible college class.
Thanks, bud. No, but like, it's true.
That
like,
can't be all you're doing.
No, it's not all I'm doing. But like, when you think of social psychology, like, you know, that like people in crowds, if one person gets aggressive in a crowd, like other people are going to get aggressive too. Like,
you don't know
that as a human, but you don't know what that's called.
Okay. I get it. Yeah, right?
So that's the thing that you're explaining. Like, I know about timbre. I just didn't know that that's what it's called.
Right.
And now I do. So thanks.
When our listener first requested that we do a catch-up episode, I thought I was going to do it solo because I was like, there's no way Nicole would ever want to talk through this stuff. So I was going to do this with an AI partner.
Oh.
So what I've got for every topic, even though I knew you'd be here making jokes, I asked ChatGPT to generate a joke about each topic.
Great, to like be like a Nicole.
That's right. To be, it's not quite funny, but you're laughing because it's awkward. Exactly like
that's
Nicole.
Me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, wow.
Exactly. So, hey, ChatGPT, can you give me a joke about timbre? This is what we got.
Sure.
Why don't composers argue about timbre? Because they know it's all a matter of tone color and they don't want to shade each other.
That's not even funny.
Is it a joke?
It's
kind of a joke.
It's like an observation.
Tone color is a phrase and they don't want to shade. I don't know. All of these, by the way, spoiler, they're all like about arguments and it's weird. Like, they're very negative. ChatGPT wants...
Maybe they were just having a bad
negative
day.
Negative jokes, yeah.
It's
I guess
not
so.
Funny, haha, but it's funny like, huh. You can tell a robot wrote it.
That's right, yeah.
You know?
And by the way, listeners, if you don't like some of these, just understand that I asked for each joke about 3 times and put the best one. So if you want to see some bad jokes, ask ChatGPT because those are way worse ones.
You should feed ChatGPT our podcast... And then say, like, make jokes in the style of Nicole's jokes.
So, it
would know how to do that.
Oh, my God. If I had said, like, make this joke as if you are a psychology professor.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't do that.
Gosh. Okay. No turning back now.
A few more topics. Shall we move on?
Okay, yeah, let's go.
Next one. This one actually has some terminology to it.
Nice.
Dynamics. Nicole got this one right.
Yes.
How loud you play a note. We call that in music dynamics. And the interesting thing about dynamics is it affects the volume, of course. If you play loud, it's louder, but it also affects the timbre. So you're a flautist.
Yes.
You were, at least.
Mm-hmm. A recovering
if you play
flautist.
Louder, it's louder, but does it change the way the flute sounds?
Yeah, it'll make it probably the notes be a little sharper, probably, I bet, the more air you push through the woodwind.
Sharper. When you say sharper, you mean higher in pitch?
Yeah, a little bit, maybe.
Ooh, I hope not. Well, like, you learn to play loud but still keep steady
you
pitch.
You do, yes, over
I'm talking
time.
About the timbre, not the pitch. How would the timbre change if you play louder?
It would just, like, sound louder, bud.
Yeah, what is that? Like... Listen here. So here I'm demonstrating some dynamics. I'm first going to play something quietly, and then loudly, and then I'm going to swell from quiet to loud. Quiet.
Whoa.
Loud, and then swelling.
Is that Eleanor Rigby?
That's just a major chord.
Oh, cool.
That major chord does occur in Eleanor Rigby, but it's the second chord. So the not the first. It's less common.
Whatever.
So that was just C major. So the quiet sound has different frequencies. It's more mellow. It doesn't have as many high frequencies. When you play louder, the high frequencies come out. Listen again. The super loud is crispier. It has more sparkle to it, right?
Yeah.
Crispy. That's another good
like sparkle
scientific term.
Too.
Yeah. So
it's cute.
We use some terms. Do you know what the term, Nicole, for quiet in music is?
I do know it. It's in my head somewhere.
There's a little thing you would write under the music.
You
to
would
say,
be like on the sheet music.
It's a letter.
It's a letter. Is it? I know that three Fs is forte, super duper loud.
Fortissimo.
Fortississimo.
Well, fortissimo.
Fortissimo.
Forte. Fortissimo. Fortissimo.
Yes.
Wait, fortissimo.
Sure.
But I learned from my Italian student a few weeks ago that that's actually not how you would say the fortissimo. That's like an American weird addition.
Yeah.
You can't just keep adding ECs to Italian words.
We're doing it. Sorry.
It's
sorry, guys.
It's like if we said it's really good, it's super good. Like there's a different word you would use, right? So,
but I don't know what the inverse of that is.
So quiet, the word we use is piano.
Oh, yes.
And you write a little P. Yeah, so you write a little P, that means piano, which means quiet. Piano means soft, and that's weird considering we have an instrument called the piano, right?
That is weird. That was always very confusing for me.
Should I explain it, or is that not?
Yeah, I'm curious.
So the instrument is not called the piano.
It's called the pianoforte.
The pianoforte.
I know
good
that from
job.
Bridgerton.
That's right. Bridgerton.
Shout
not
out.
Just about titillating the moms out there.
It really got me through COVID.
You're not the only one, I'm sure. The pianoforte or the pianoforte is called that because it can play piano and forte.
Oh,
and,
smart.
And do you know what the older brother that went extinct right before the piano came out is called? The forte piano.
Oh.
Because it could play forte and piano. It's basically just an earlier version of the instrument.
Is that what the pedals do?
The pedals, one of the pedals makes it play really quiet.
Yeah.
But most of the pedals on the modern piano have to do with sustaining the notes.
Oh.
But the reason it's called that is because the keyboard instruments that existed before the piano could only play one dynamic.
Sure.
The harpsichord, you could bang that thing as loud as you want and it's not going to be any louder. So the invention of the forte piano and later the piano was it can play both, right?
Yeah.
Piano, you say to mean quiet. And if you want it to be super quiet, you put two P's. And we call that pianissimo, and three P's and four P's. F means forte, right? Forte, fortissimo, fortississimo. You keep adding F's, it makes it louder and louder. Do you remember what it's called when you go from one to the other? Like if I start piano and swell to be forte like this,
ooh,
listen.
I know that word. I know it. And as soon as you say it, I'm going to be like, of
course. It's called
course.
A crescendo.
Crescendo and a decrescendo.
So a decrescendo is going backwards, but actually... People tend to use the word diminuendo to
ooh,
mean that.
Ooh, yeah, I've known
but
that
but decrescendo is fine, too. I don't know why everybody uses diminuendo.
I think it sounds like cooler.
It's just, it's a different word, and it makes you feel like...
It makes you feel smart
the musical lessons
were worth it. Yeah, right?
So the important thing to remember about dynamics is that they change the sound, but also they're human.
Oh.
Telling a flute player to play their lowest note, forte, is like a psychological thing, because they can't. The lowest note on the flute is quiet no matter what you do.
Yeah.
But you tell someone play it forte, they're going to take a big breath and try like hell to make it loud. It like causes a psychological sort of not quantifiable response dynamics.
How interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder what our non-human co-host has to say.
Good
about
segue.
This. Yeah, I'm trying.
Hey, ChatGPT, you got a joke about dynamics? Why did the conductor glare at the brass section during the pianissimo? Because PP doesn't mean pretty powerful.
Okay.
I can see how that is constructed properly, though, because they're like, ChatGPT understands what pianissimo means, and it understands that PP. It's just not funny.
Stop trying to be friends with ChatGPT. You're like, I can see what he was trying to do.
I'm seeing if we can replace you.
Also, like, gendering ChatGPT.
Are you or am I?
I think you might be.
Am I?
I don't know.
I am not. I don't know if ChatGPT, did I gender? I'm sorry, ChatGPT. ChatGPT is a they or an it.
It doesn't have feelings.
No.
You don't have to apologize to it. Like people ask like please and thank you and they get different responses when they ask please or thank you.
Wow.
Which is bullshit because it's an algorithm. Like it doesn't like have feelings yet.
Yet. Dun, yet dun, is operative. Dun. We already talked about AI. Listen to that sidetrack, people.
Oh, it's so good.
Articulation.
All right.
I call this how you play a note. So with what technique? So this is like me playing a guitar with my fingers versus me playing a guitar with my pick.
Mm.
That is a different articulation.
Sure.
Right? But we also have different words we use.
Like staccato.
That's right. We've got words like legato, which means connected. Staccato, which means
short.
Short and separate. Mm-hmm. Accent.
Accented.
Yeah, like you emphasize a note.
That's fair.
You've got with a violin, you could play with the bow. We call that arco, or you could pluck it with your finger. We call that pizzicato. Like,
ooh, I love that.
Every instrument has different articulations, but
I just saw some violinists play the other day.
Were they using pizzicato or arco?
They were doing all of it.
Yeah, that's how you
do it.
Take advantage of what you've got. So here's the same little piano lick played with different articulations. First, legato. Now staccato. Now with accents.
Ooh, what's your favorite?
Well, is this a cop-out? It's using them together.
Oh.
Because what you have, I'm going to play you now a melody. We might use sometimes the word phrasing, which is like how you turn a melody into almost like a musical sentence. And articulation is the key to that. In the same way that when I'm speaking, I'm going to emphasize certain words and put a comma here, a pause, and raise my intonation when I'm on a question. Articulation helps that too. So listen to this this phrase played totally bland and then with articulation, and you're going to find it has a little more shape to it.
Mm.
Again. You don't like it.
I love it, actually. Did you write that?
Why, just in the sense that I just randomly played it at the piano.
It's really lovely, Mark.
It's copywritten, technically. When this gets published, technically I own it. Because it is publicly available.
Do I own it too?
Yes.
Yes.
So yeah, articulation, cool. One more thing, but first, hey ChatGPT, give me a joke about articulation.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't legato and staccato get along? Because legato's all about long-term connections and staccato just can't commit.
I mean, it's not even fun. Again, it makes sense, but it's not a joke.
Yeah, I think this one isn't really. I think the last one was a joke that was bad. I think this kind of is not
a joke.
It's
just like a commentary.
Yeah. It's just a series of sentences. It's a couplet, really. It's poetry.
It's a couplet.
All right, can we do one more?
Yeah,
and then we'll wrap up
it.
This baby episode.
Let's do it.
All right, texture.
Oh, yes.
Texture is how the various elements of a piece of music interact. So like you've got a bass playing and a singer playing and there's a guitar strumming chords, right?
It's like Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour versus like a Taylor Swift classical concert by candlelight.
That's a great example because when we talk about, there's some other terms we use and you're referring to one of them. When we're talking about how different lines interact, we sometimes call this counterpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're talking about like what the instruments are doing and how they're all set up, like is it an orchestra or is it Taylor Swift with a band?
Mm-hmm.
We call that arrangement.
Oh.
And some people use the term arrangement to mean like form, the musical structure. But generally speaking, like in musicians' circles, like an arranger is someone who chooses what each instrument and what each voice does.
Yeah.
Right. So like the backing vocals of Taylor, that's a vocal arranger would decide what they're doing. The instrumental arranger would figure out what the guitar and the piano were doing, right?
Is that why your Discord name is Counterpoint?
My Discord name is Counterpoint. Shout out everybody to the Lorehounds Discord. Sign up. I'm Counterpoint with the show logo. I've just always used that as forums. If you find a forum from like 2007 about video games or whatever,
nice.
And you see a guy named Counterpoint,
that's you.
Usually with like Beethoven as his face. That was my random music major. I'm gonna do it. Feels good on a forum, yeah, because a counterpoint, no, but then it has sense. A musical term.
It's very topical. I always thought it was because like of us.
Yeah, because I always have to represent an opposing viewpoint, yeah, to my lovely co-host. Yeah, yeah. No, it predates that again. Oh, like the
so the world
forum
doesn't revolve around me. Hmm.
Well, it
weird
might. It's all a simulation. So, yeah. Anyways, I want to demonstrate varieties of textures and varieties of arrangement to you. This is a tune called Mykonos by the band The Fleet Foxes. Do you know Fleet Foxes?
I do know Fleet Foxes.
Are they The Fleet Foxes or Fleet Foxes?
Fleet Foxes.
I think it's just Fleet Foxes. This is a song called Mykonos. Here's the original. Tell me what's happening in this arrangement. Tell me what's happening in the texture.
Tell you what's happening in the texture.
Yeah, if texture is how the layers interact and arrangement is like what each instrument's doing.
Okay.
Just try to describe what you heard.
Okay, so we're starting with a drum and guitar.
Yeah, what are they doing?
Playing a song together.
But like what's the guitar doing?
Keeping a beat. Oh no, the guitar's playing a melody. And the drum is playing a beat behind the melody.
Yeah, so there's like a simple drum beat.
Yeah. And
the guitar is kind of playing a melody, but it's picking through chords,
sure,
right? Those are called broken chords. And then what happens? What happens next?
And then we add vocals into it. And like a little percussion too, like a little cymbal. And the vocals are like in harmony.
Yeah, there's harmonized vocals. Mm-hmm. There's a melody, but and that melody is doubled by a melodica.
Oh, melodica, yes, that's right? What
the
I'm hearing, yeah.
Kind of like accordion thing that looks like a little keyboard that you play.
I love it.
Blow through your mouth. And yeah, there's more percussion. There's maybe a cymbals and a tambourine, mm-hmm, or something. And so we have a kind of full arrangement for sort of a mellow song. It's pretty full arrangement.
It's rich.
Yeah,
I would describe it as
for
rich.
For sure. Now, compare that arrangement to the same song by the same band on the same EP, Sun Giant.
Okay.
This is maybe the first thing that they put out. It came out around the same time as their debut album. Same song, very different version. They just call it the alternate version.
Oh.
Different texture and arrangement.
Wow, what great examples, because their timbre is so different between the two arrangements.
Well, sure, the timbre for sure.
Yes.
Because one's piano,
yeah,
one is guitars, no keyboard. But what about the texture? How's the texture different?
I'm going to use like my words to describe,
sure,
it. So the texture in the second clip, the most recent one that we heard, sounds like cleaner to,
mm-hmm,
me and crisper,
mm-hmm,
and less atmospheric than the texture in the first version.
Yes. And that's because it's simpler.
Right.
It's just chord, 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 chord. Bring the beat in, you know?
Yeah.
There's no plucking guitars doing kind of a complicated pattern. There's no vocal harmonies. It's a much simpler texture, but it's the same music. It's the same song.
Which one do you like better?
The first one.
Me too.
The first one's like the real song. The first one has this crazy ending bit too that we'll hear a little bit of
too. It just
too.
Feels like it has more artistry to me.
Yeah.
To me. It's more my style.
I think they
of music.
Agree. That's the one that has the music video and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Super abstract music video. So we actually have some terms we use when we're talking about texture, like the different elements of a texture. The melody is the lead line, right? That's like,
mm-hmm,
the most important line. The bass is a term we use, not just to mean an instrument, because the bass could be a saxophone. It just means the lowest note,
sure,
right? The accompaniment, do you know what that term means?
My instinct is to say like that little piece on the side.
The accompaniment
like
just means
extra.
The backup instrument.
Sure, like the,
right,
little extra.
Yeah. Do you know what a pad means?
No.
A pad is like a soft background sort of hum. Like if you have like an organ or strings that are just like holding long chords.
Okay.
Pads are like the glue in the background of a piece.
It's like if you were in a barbershop quartet, there's that guy.
No, the barbershop quartet, they're all singing words all the time. They're harmonized,
sure,
with the melody. But if you have like a choir singing ooze in the background of your,
mm-hmm,
that is a pad.
Okay.
And then last thing, you know what a riff is? What's a riff?
Like an embellishment kind of.
Okay.
Like a little extra. Usually like not.
I wouldn't say. So a riff would be this. That guitar part.
Okay.
A short repeating figure, usually simple, catchy.
It's beautiful.
Keeps going, right? Yeah, so cool. Think like a guitar player doing like a bum bum ba-na-na-na, ba-na-na-na. Mm-hmm. That's a riff, right? A short repeating little melody, usually a funky rhythm to it, right?
Nice.
So also we have these big terms to define a texture. This texture where everybody's playing together, we call that homophony.
Okay.
Like homophone. Homophone, right? One sound, everybody's playing together.
Mm-hmm. I'll throw in some psych terms.
Do it.
Talk about like homogenous couples or homogenous pairings are people that are matched based on like their race, gender, socioeconomic status. Like we often have like homogenous marriages. And,
okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right. These are like homogenous instrumental arrangements where everybody's playing together, right? There's a few terms like this. I'm not going to say all of them. I'm just going to say one more, which is polyphony. Polyphonic. What do you think that means?
Multiple.
Yeah, multiple. So this is where the things aren't playing together. This is the outro section of that same song, the original version, not the piano version. Oh.
I hate that.
Oh, really?
It stresses me out.
So the polyphony is where you have multiple singers. They're all singing something different, right?
Yeah.
You don't like it.
It makes my brain like scattered. I don't like it.
You don't like it even though it's objectively awesome?
It's objectively, I think it's good.
Sorry, that's snarky, but
no, I agree with you. It is objectively a good song and I understand like why it's enjoyable. But just for me, it tickles my brain in a way that's not pleasant. Just it feels like I'm getting pulled in too many directions. I don't like it.
Do you not like Scarborough Fair, the arrangement by Simon and Garfunkel,
really
where the
don't.
Last verse, there's like Paul Simon singing the canticle. And then is it Garfunkel singing the Are You Going to like they're on different words. But you like musicals.
Musicals
always have the like canon at the end where they're all singing on top of each other.
It's just something I think
stresses
honestly. And I know that this is hard for listeners, maybe, but I think it's because I'm listening to it in headphones. And I think like the dissonance and like trying to figure out what I'm supposed to follow because it's so close in my headphones.
All right.
I don't know if any of that's making
famously,
sense.
Like you're Googleable for this. Famously weren't into the Jimmy Eat World song for Me, This Is Heaven.
And part of
what I like about that is how there's so many different instruments playing complementary parts. And
it stresses me out.
And Nancy in the Discord said it sounded like noise. So you're not the only person like that.
I think we found our line. I think this is our line in the sand.
Fair enough. And on that note, this will end part one
of
our MUS 101, Music 101.
Do we have a ChatGPT joke?
Oh my gosh, thank you. Hey, ChatGPT, give me a joke about texture. Why did the choir break up with the orchestra? Because the relationship got too dense. They needed a lighter texture.
Okay.
What is a dense relationship? That's not the way...
And
the
like
English
you didn't even
works.
Prompt it, like give me a joke about texture in music. I'm surprised.
Oh no, I did. Okay. Give me a music joke about.
Oh, I see.
Texture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dense.
I get what they're doing. It doesn't work. Let's see if they do better.
Are we keeping up this ChatGPT motif throughout all of these mini episodes? Is this going to be a thing?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Well.
If it's stupid, it's stupid. But...
No, I think it's stupid, and that's why I think we should keep going with it.
Exactly. Yes. That's
because we're still smarter than them.
Okay.
It.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay, Nicole. The outro credits, except this time you're from Boston and I'm from SoCal. Nevermind the Music is like totally hosted by me, Mark Poppany, and Nicole Vatcher. I also totally produce. Please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating and a review.
We're on social media. If you want to leave us a message, you can. We don't really care. We're at Never Music Pod on all major platforms. You can also send us an email at nevermusicpod@gmail.com. Once in a while, we'll check our email and do a mailbag episode for you. So please let us know if you have any questions. We'll try to answer them.
You're going to be all like, you can't get there from here. Your mother's here. All right, Mark.
Thanks for listening.